We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, back here on Patriots Friday and OMF, and today, this week, we come to you the day after a Thursday night football game, and since it's Friday, it's time for our little get-together with Mike Lombardi. Our conversation with Mike is sponsored by Town Fair Tire and Needham Bank. He's the author, of course, of Gridiron Genius. It is now available in paperback book. Ooh, Mike, how are you today?
I'm doing great, thank you. How are you guys holding up?
6-0, boy, we're just doing great up here.
No, we're miserable.
We are miserable. So that's my first question to you. We brought this up to Teddy Bruschi the other day, and Bruschi said that if you need your defense and your special teams to score for you every single week, you're really living dangerously because eventually you're going to get caught by teams that are simply as good as you. You agree with that? Can they continue?
Yeah, no, I do, but it's October. I mean, they've got to. Look, I think people don't really understand. Antonio Brown was not a luxury. They needed Antonio Brown. Now, he's not there any longer. They still need somebody to play the receiver, the skill position. I mean, the fact of where they ended up that game last night and how hard and bad that 21-win looked for them. I mean, most teams win by 21. They don't think they have a problem. The Patriots win by 21. They got to get to work, you know, and so I think they've got to get, you know, look, there's a lot of pieces missing on that offense, starting with the left tackle, you know, starting with the starting center. So they're trying to fill a lot of these gaps. And more than anything, I think they lack the great skill. The speed of the offense hasn't really been able to be there. And, that, you know, he goes 16 plays and don't get any points. It becomes problematic.
Yeah, so and even when you look at the situation that they're in, and the fact that Brady talked about last night, or this is the first time in 20 years where they only go one personnel grouping, right? I think he was in regular or sub. I'm not even sure. But that, to me, is actually a good thing. With all those things going on, he was still able to be 31 for 41, over 300 yards.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, let's put this in perspective. That Giants secondary, I heard Troy Aikman talk about how good the Giants were in their building. That's one of the worst defenses in football. They can't cover anybody. Okay, I'm not sure if you watch the Vikings got a jolt offensively when they went back there. I mean, even their highest played player, Janoris Jenkins, I mean, heck, they're doubling Edelman, and he's still getting open. I mean, what does that tell you? So I think you got to look at the level of play and who they're playing. I mean, that's
so it's less impressive. So hold on. So forget about the 31 from 41. You're not impressed because they sucked.
Look, when you're in the NFL and you're sitting there, you never think you suck. You won. You're undefeated. But you know that there's somebody down the road that you're going to have to play and beat. And the only way you're going to do that is to get better. The beautiful thing that's going on in New England right now is they're winning. And they know they can improve. And they're going to improve on offense. There's no doubt they'll improve
on
offense.
Yeah. Without getting a body?
With this personnel?
Know, I mean, they're going to have to make some moves. They've always done this. I mean, in 2014, you know, there was three or four moves we made there in the middle of the season, whether it's, you know, signing Alan Branch, whether it was, Jonathan Casillas, whether it was Akeem, you know, the outside rusher from UCLA, you know, whatever it was, you know, you make those moves and you get the team better. They'll do that. I have full confidence that this offense will look much different in December than it does right now. Who they're going to fill in those places, I can't give you that answer. I don't know.
So
I don't think they know.
Obviously, they're not very deep in a lot of spots, and obviously Lacoste goes out last night. I don't know if you feel that Ben Watson's another option again, but were you surprised, given the lack of depth and production they're getting from that position, that Bill didn't find a spot for Ben Watson, or do you think it was more about the money he carried and freeing up space?
No, I think it was about the level of what he thought he could impact. I think Bill never makes any decisions monetarily. I think it was all about could he help our team, and maybe he felt, and I don't see the practice tape, but maybe he felt like he couldn't do anything based on the practice tape, and where was he going to be in December? The hardest part about signing older players is they look really good in August and September, and then when you really need to play your best football December and January, they don't have much left in the tank. So I don't know the real behind the scenes story there, but obviously they felt they could do it. Look, they need to fix tight end. They need an inside receiver. There's a few things they need. Unfortunately, it's a hard time of the year to get this. They're just gonna have to figure out how to do it.
Let me ask you about tight end real quick. Just staying with it, a couple of names you talk about. Obviously, they got to add somebody. Is Tyler Eifert out in Cincinnati? Austin Hooper down in Atlanta. You hear anything about these guys being available?
I would think they're going to add more of a receiver than a tight end. I think, maybe you could find a tight end, but, Mohamed Sanu comes to mind as somebody that would fit what they do perfectly because he's a big inside receiver. He's on his last year of a contract, and, if Atlanta continues to plunge down, maybe they want to dump that asset. Maybe they want to get some pick for him before they lose him in compensatory. I think that's the flavor you look at. Emmanuel Sanders, if Denver continues to lose, do they take a draft pick now as opposed to waiting for a compensatory pick? I think those are the kind of players you have to look at. One-year rentals. We saw it last year. Demaryius Thomas went from Denver to Houston late at the trade deadline. I mean, it was for a third-round pick. It was expensive, but Houston needed to make a trade for a receiver. I think that's the line you're looking at. I don't think that there's not enough good tight ends out there to satisfy everybody. I think they can work around the tight end. It's that inside receiver that's problematic.
All right, you've been in this organization when they've made those deals in the middle of the season. We talked to Bill on Monday and certainly admitted that, he's got Nick scurrying around. They're doing their due diligence right now. But what do you think is happening, especially when they've got a $5 million cap hold now with Antonio Brown that's kind of handcapping him? You just said Bill's not going to worry about the money. How does he get around this? Because you just admitted it. He needs help, especially at that wide receiver. They need another playmaker.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I think, you just have to go in and do sign a guy. Look, one of their best players, one of their best players on defense, Kyle Van Noy came, by the way, of nobody knew where. How did this guy show up here, right? Detroit just gave him away. I think that's kind of what you're looking for here, but it's going to have to happen on offense. And they'll figure out a way to fit the player in. It could be a guy in his third year of his contract, or fourth year of his player contract, that his cap number's not that hard. You're just assuming the paragraph five, which you can fit in there. So I think that's the marketplace that they're in. They're going to scour it. Look, they'll work diligently. They've got an extra day or two now to do it. And now we're at the point of the season where maybe some teams have given up their aspirations of winning a Super Bowl. I know Atlanta this summer thought they were one of the best teams in football. How, I don't know. They did. But since the Super Bowl, they're 19-20. Since the last 21 games, they're 8-13. And really, they haven't played very well since then. So they're a team that you could target. I think there's certain teams you could target to think that you might be able to make some happen.
All right, so you bring up an interesting point. We keep on focusing on big-name receivers or whatever. And you brought up Van Noy. Simon was another guy they brought in here. Is it possible that Bill's looking at something and saying, we put him in our system and what we're doing with Brady, and we have something here for the rest of the season? Are we looking in the wrong direction here, Mike?
Yeah, everybody looks for marquee. Belichick is, I talked about him on my podcast this week, and I watched this documentary on Clive Davis about how Clive Davis made, really, here's a white Jewish elderly man who's making rock and roll history with the people he puts in the right, with the right music, with the right songs. There's a little bit to that in football. Belichick has unique ability. I mean, look at the defense, right? There's only two players on that defense that anybody else in the league wanted, Devin McCourty and Stephon Gilmore. You could say, well, Hightower. No, Hightower was a free agent. He came back at a reduced price, right? I mean, Jason McCourty, Danny Shelton, and Jamie Collins were all cut by Cleveland. So the value here is the secret sauce in New England, the secret sauce at One Patriot Place is Bill's ability to recognize talent and fit him into the system and then develop those skills within the system. That's a Bill Walshism, develop the skills within the system. And that's what they do better than anybody in New England. That's why they've won 79 games over the last 5 years.
So speaking of guys in the secret sauce with the Patriots, Michael Bennett, his reps have gone down since the beginning of the season. Is that because the other younger players are playing better? Or is it because he's just becoming expendable and they don't need him as much? Because that seems to be a guy that if he's not going to be on the field, he's not getting as many reps, and he says himself that he has zero role, that I can see them moving.
Well, I think a lot of it depends on the opponent they're playing, right? I think it all really depends on who they're playing and how they want to match up each week. You know Bill as well as anybody. I mean, Danny Shelton last year was inactive for how many games in a row? And now all of a sudden he's active. So I think it all depends on what role, how they want to attack the defense, what they want to do, what they want to do with the offense and how the defense wants to attack. And I think some weeks last night, I think he played 11 plays. I'm sure his number will go up as it gets forward. But look, Michael Bennett was traded for relatively very little, a swap of 6 to a 7. So the marketplace out there, they redid his contract. I'm sure
so it has nothing to, so you don't think that has anything to do with the other guys playing better and him being forced to take a reduced role because of that?
Well, I think everything's about the role. I think that, you know, I don't know how they judge who's playing better and who's not. I mean, Bennett obviously has been a good player for most of his career, but maybe they want more of a run defender. Last night, Wise played more because they wanted a more stout guy to be able to move things around. I think that really comes from the organization.
Talking to Mike Lombardi, Athletic, and the GM Shuffle podcast. And Mike, when Jamie Collins left here in New England, I believe you were pretty critical of him in his freelancing and maybe not being on the same page. Are you seeing a more disciplined guy this time around, different player?
You know, I've always said this about Jamie. When he left before, he was not playing well, didn't want to really play with physicality. And I've always said this about Jamie. He, as good as he could play, was really where the bar was. When you go back to the 16 team, the 7, when he was playing at his highest level, the defense played much better. Because it's rare to find a guy that size and that kind of quickness who can play on all three levels of the defense. And I thought he was one of our best players on defense. And then that year in 16, he didn't play to that level. Really wasn't playing with physicality. Now he's back to playing into that 15 level, which is when he's really good, he's one of the top 5 players. He went on to Cleveland, he got paid, and all of a sudden Cleveland didn't feel the same thing. So, you know, I think he's changed his game around. I think he's changed his attitude about his, and I think that happens to a lot of guys. I mean, they go somewhere else and they come back. I mean, Brandon Bolden might be a perfect example. Here's a kid who's out there, you know, was a special teams. He fills a role perfectly, does it last night, made plays in Washington. You know, that's the one thing about the Patriots, that they're able to get guys to fill the role, and then the guys go somewhere else, and they realize, you know what? It was a hell of a lot better in New England than it is here.
You know, speaking of Brandon Bolden, I know we had this discussion. I asked you last week about Sony Michel, and you had a couple 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1, couldn't get it done. They get to the goal line. They give it to Brandon Bolden. Brady runs a couple in himself. Are they better off right now where they are? I know the offensive line's beat up, but giving Brandon Bolden more looks with his running style than Sony Michel.
I think they need as many dynamic players as they can find offensively. And look, I think Michelle's kind of back that, you know, you saw late in the game when they retired, he wore down and he made his big run. But, I mean, they need more juice on offense. I'm not going to argue that with you. They need more juice. They need to be more explosive on offense. They need that, you know, that ability to take a short pass and turn into a long one. And I think that's probably the most frustrating thing. Look, you're not going to reinvent the wheel, right? They're not going to change their scheme. They're not going to do something differently. They got to get the players they have to play at a higher level, especially in the offensive line. And then they've got to get some guys healthy. Maybe it's Harry comes back off IR. You know, they need Isaiah Wynn back at left tackle, which will help solidify that line a little bit. But they're just going to have to find ways to get guys in there. And you know what, guys? It happens every year. They do it. Somehow some team gets rid of a good player. Look, we traded Michael Hooman for Hakeem Hicks. Hicks is one of the best defensive linemen in football. That happened in October.
Okay, last one and we'll let you go. I'm going to want you to make a bold prediction, okay? And again, bold prediction means you're not really held accountable and no one's going to give you, you know, any
crap. Have you ever listened to my podcast? I make them all the time.
Okay, well, I want you to make it here. Okay, I want you to make it here so all the listeners here can hear it. Give me one name that you think the Patriots will sign in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Who's the first offensive player? Give me a name offensively, an impact offensive player. Give me one.
You know, my guess would be Sanu. That's a guess, only because I think Atlanta's trending. He makes $7 million a year. I think, why would you pay an inside slot receiver that? They need to get Ridley the ball more. Although they like Sanu down there, I can't imagine. You know, there's been conversations before. Emmanuel Sanders would be another guy I would think about. You know, I think in that area, but those would be the two names off the top of my head. I think it's a profile you got to look to, right? Somebody whose contract's expired, somebody whose team's not playing well, somebody who wants to get a compensatory pick now instead of later.
Quickly, would you be shocked if Bill does not make a deal?
I'd be shocked.
I would too. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, goodbye.
Thanks, Mike.
See you later. Mike Lombardi joining us right here on OMF. We get back to your phone call, 617-779-7937. Patriots are 6-0, and we're all miserable.
Bill Belichick joins Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier after every game on Patriots Monday. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
It's coming. It's gone its way. Here comes the trending.
What do you want, the trending?
Yes.
Well, go ahead, Tyler. Let's do the trending.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Trending now, the Patriots are expected to place Jakob Johnson on injured reserve after the fullback suffered a shoulder injury in last night's win, and you just heard Mike Lombardi. Catch that full interview on WEI.com.
You laid it out with him, Ringer. You put him on the hot seat.
Don't you feel
and
like
he actually responded. There was no delay. There was no pause.
You got to cut him off. He'll ramble on forever. That's why he does podcasts.
I don't know. I don't see what they're seeing.
Good job, Christian. Bob Nightingale reports that friends close to Curt Schilling said he would love to get back in the game of baseball. Significant interest, according to Nightingale, for Schilling, for the Phillies managerial position, as well as right here with the Red Sox and their open pitching coach.
What do you think? You think John Henry's calling him up right now, Lou, saying, hey, come on in, be our pitching coach?
Yeah, sure. You're open-minded, yeah. Right? You're not stubborn by any means, right?
I've got a gigantic computer for you in a little office.
And Jason Mastrodonato does not want you to click on any stories related to Curt Schilling.
What is his problem?
I don't know. God. He's such a snowflake.
Does he understand that there's... What are we doing here?
You report real stories, not fake ones.
None of us are falling for the Schilling story that he's going to be the pitching coach, but can't we talk about it?
We'll be pissed at Nightingale for even tweeting about it,
please,
then.
God.
After starting the season on the road, 3-1, the Bruins return home to the TD Garden tomorrow for their home opener against the New Jersey Devils.
Hopefully you can fit in your seat.
The Celtics and their building of chemistry continues tonight in Orlando, 7 p.m. tip-off against the Magic. The NLCS starts tonight. Cardinals host the Nationals, 8:08 first pitch in St. Louis. J. Bryan Day Emergency Services is your 24-hour water damage expert, so remember, when a water damage strikes your property, J. Bryan Day Services is on the way. I'm Tyler Devitt, and that is what is trending now on WEI and WEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I want you to make a bold prediction, okay? And again, bold prediction means you're not really held accountable and no one's going to give you, any
crap. Have you ever listened to my podcast? I make them all the time.
Okay, well, I want you to make it here so all the listeners here can hear it. Give me one name that you think the Patriots will sign in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
My guess would be Sanu. That's a guess. Only because I think Atlanta's trending. He makes $7 million a year. I think, why would you pay an inside slot receiver that? They need to get Ridley the ball more. Emmanuel Sanders would be another guy I would think about.
Would you be shocked if Bill does not make a deal?
I'd be shocked.
Michael Lombardi joining us. You put him right in the spot there, you know? He's a little defensive. Have you heard my podcast? By the way, have you heard his podcast?
Actually, yes, I have.
Yeah,
I have.
I've heard his
podcast. But first of all, we forgot to ask him. I'm so irritated, right?
Yeah.
Because on Monday, we sent out that tweet. The show sent out the tweet about Ben Watson. I think Tyler quoted me saying, there's no way I'd be crazy. And he retweeted it with a comment saying,
no chance.
But it was ambiguous.
Yes. We weren't sure whether it was no chance.
He's protected himself.
Get rid of him.
Which way?
Right.
Get him back
on. So he's right either way. Right. Can you call him back and just ask him to confirm
to confirm, because we were a little bit confused on that one. But no, he threw it right out there. So there you go.
Mohamed Sanu's making $6 million. $7 million, because there's bonuses involved, whatever. So it's salary $6 million.
So prorated?
I don't know. What's that, three. About $4 million?
That's like $3 million.
Right around where you're at?
Carry the
three's half the season. So we've got more than half the season.
Well, they're not doing a deal, I don't think, until week 8. I do not believe that.
Why not?
Because teams are holding you up. They're going to try to get as much in return as they can. So you're sitting there waiting it out. And the Patriots are okay for the next 2 weeks. Against the Jets, against Cleveland, they're okay. Right?
Yeah, but I'm just saying. I mean, the sooner the better, right? If you can afford them. That's all.
Yes.
How about this one? I just saw my man against Miguel Capspace.
My man.
You got to help me out with this, Christian, because he said Maurice Harris can be re-signed Monday. So they need bodies, right? This guy was with them in camp. They cut him. Is there a six-week hold where you can't re-sign a player? You got to wait 6 weeks before you can.
Yeah, I'll give that.
They cut him before
that.
Yeah,
we should
sign him until after week 6 or something.
Yeah, I think that's what he's alluding to.
He can be re-signed. I mean, normally you'd say, well, they can sign him any time they want, but he says Monday.
Why don't you DM him? He'll give you the details. He's pretty good at this
stuff.
Yeah,
he is.
So you should give him the, because he knows.
Is that a body? But
they need a body because
they need a body.
You're not going to have Dorsett for that Jets game, even though you got 11 days. And you're not going to probably not have Gordon.
You're not walking to the Jets with your wide receiving crew being Edelman, Gunner, and Jacoby Myers.
Triple coverage
right?
for Edelman.
If Dorsett, Tammy's not okay, and Gordon can't go,
everybody cover 11.
Go
11.
Into a game with just those three guys?
He's a stopgap. He's you need to stop the bleeding. Somehow you need a body, right? You don't want to sit there and wait for him to kind of catch up to the offense. You got to be able to plug him in right away. And he's serviceable, right?
Listen, I agree with Lombardi when he talked about how the Giants were trash, and I hope the audience heard that. Because the last 2 weeks they've played trashy defenses in Washington and the Giants. And what they've done is they've just worn out those defenses. They're just a lot of plays. They had 78 plays this week. They had a whole lot of them last week, right? So they're just – clock management was 2-1 again last night. 2-1. And all that does is wear down a defense that's not good to begin with. And then by the end, you're making some plays, right? Because they're just worn out. But the one thing I wanted to praise, I don't care what the defenses are, when you consider the problems they have with running the football, selling play action, being able to run on the edge, being able to throw the football an awful lot, and you look at what Julian Edelman is doing, when you just know that every defense is coming in there saying, we're shutting down number 11. The squirrel has been unbelievable. The hairy squirrel.
The hairy, fluffy squirrel.
Fluffy squirrel. And he's beaten up, and you saw it again last night. He's grimacing as he's getting up off the ground because somebody pounded him. He needs some time off.
How do you think that last catch felt? Fully stretched out, ribs exposed.
Yep, fell right under
the elbow. Diving. Falling just,
Where would you be without him right now?
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Woo.
Well, you'd be the Bills. Actually, it'd be worse than the Bills because he's the only guy to make plays. All right, so we do have clarification from Mike Lombardi. I want to make sure we get this in there because there was a lot of debate whether he agreed with us or didn't agree with us. And Tyler?
So Lombardi says, I was actually agreeing with Christian.
Oh, okay.
No chance that they were bringing him back.
Okay. Wait.
Which is actually disagreeing with you.
Which is actually
I think he had no idea what you...
Okay.
Call him back again.
Get him on the phone.
Wait, he said no chance they were bringing him back.
I said, hey, Mike, 4A is wondering what you meant by this on Monday. He said, no chance they were bringing him back. I was agreeing with him. I thought he said no chance, too.
Christian said the opposite. Lou and I sat here and said, we did not think they were going to bring him back.
If we knew that from Mike, that would have made the whole thing interesting, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The original statement from Christian was... I don't think there's a chance he's not on the roster at 4 o'clock.
So, kind of confusing. A little confusing.
I don't think there's not a chance?
Yeah.
That's a double negative.
Yeah, there's a double. It's like a triple.
I'm confused as hell reading that.
I just think I broke a record.
I wonder, Mike's confused.
Send that down the hallway to Wiggy and have him translate for us.
Tyler, your job is supposed to clean that up. You could still put quotes. Just make it readable.
My English paper do.
So we were confused the first time, then confused the second time when we got the second call.
Yeah.
And we need a third call now. It's like the tiebreaker. See if we can figure it all out. All right, let's go to the phone calls here. Let's go to Andre down in the Cape. Andre, what do you got?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it,
buddy. Concerning the Patriots are basically the Dallas Cowboys of the AFC right now. That's who they are. Okay, they're 6-0. They're going to be 7-0 when they win their next freshman game against the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And then the real schedule begins. The Cleveland game at home, don't sleep on Cleveland. Very talented. They just have no leadership. You know, when they were running the ball like they should have, they got a big win against the Ravens. And then they want to let the players run the team. So then the next game against San Fran, they want to throw to Odell Beckham and get out of character, and it got blown out. So you don't know which Cleveland team you're going to get. That game's going to be a tough game. Then it's the Ravens, the Eagles.
Yeah, we know.
We know, we know the schedule. Very you don't have to give the schedule. We got
very
copies of it.
You don't believe
they publish copies of them.
Okay, so you know the schedule. And the fact of the matter is they could easily go 3-3 or 2-4 in that stretch, and then we'll get a real understanding of who this team is. Dallas Cowboys, they won those first three games, and the people had them in the Super Bowl. Then they played two real teams, and that narrative is lost.
Right,
okay,
I get
so Shannon Sharps and the Rob Parkers of the world, they're card-carrying Patriots haters, you know, so we don't get kind of caught up in that.
Okay,
hold
on, Andre. Everything you're saying, I think we agree that, and you saw it with the Cowboys the last 2 weeks, and certainly Green Bay, we get all of that. But you tell me as you watch this defense, because I'm not convinced that the offense can go out and beat those teams, but you tell me looking at the Patriots defense, do you have any questions that they can't hold up against those good teams?
Oh, yeah, they can stop those teams, you know, but the Patriots are going to have to score in the 20, you know, when you're playing against Deshaun Watson. Okay. Obviously, Mahomes, you're going to have to score.
Okay, we're in agreement then. We're in a total agreement. I'm just waiting for somebody.
I agree with what he's saying. You know, the first three weeks, the Giants, they got the Giants, Redskins, Dolphins, 3-0. Love Prescott. Pay him whatever the hell he wants, right? And then you ran into New Orleans and Green Bay, and now we're wondering who the hell the Cowboys are.
Right.
I think the Pats are better than the Cowboys. That's all. You know, I believe in their quarterback more than I believe in Dak Prescott. Their defense, I believe, is better.
They're running
now, good. I don't think they've, obviously, we all know they haven't been tested. That six-game stretch, and I will start it with Cleveland, I think that will tell us, you know, who this defense really is. Because 10 of these 16 games this year, I mean, the last three games for the Patriots is a joke as well, right? So they're going to play 10 just crap teams out of a 16. They finish up at Cincinnati, who's might as well throw them in everybody else they've played, Buffalo and then Miami.
Buffalo will be the one that will be fighting for a playoff spot.
But that six-game stretch, fine. I don't think this defense will average, you know, take away the pick sixes and everything else. What are they averaging now, 5-6 points a game?
Something five? Like that, yeah.
I mean, they get up 7, right? So 5? No. But I think they'll still be in that 15 to 17 range.
Yeah, but it drives me crazy when it drives me crazy when I hear some of these national people
maybe 19,
saying
20, I don't know. Right. But that's what we'll find out really what the numbers should be or who they are.
But I disagree with the people that are saying, and I understand why they're saying it. They're looking at it from afar. We're watching this team with every single play. And they keep on saying, well, you can't tell anything about this defense yet because they haven't played a good quarterback. They haven't played a top 10 offense or whatever. And I get it. They're factually correct. I'm just telling you what my eyes see watching these games and every single play. I think this defense is going to do just fine. You're right, Lou. They're not going to hold a team to 5 or 6 points. A really good team like Kansas City, they're not going to hold them. But I'm not worried about them. What I'm worried about is the Patriots' offense scoring enough points. You can't depend on the defense to go and score points every week for you. Against the better teams, it's not going to happen. So the offense is what concerns me. But I hear a lot of people nationally say, I'm not ready to anoint this defense as being the best defense in the NFL because they haven't played anybody. They haven't played any good quarterbacks. All right, we're right back to the phone calls with you at 617-779-7937. It's 6-0. But there are some things you worry about. You heard Mike Lombardi. He is convinced, and he knows Belichick. He's convinced Belichick's going to make a move.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Is it fair to say at this point the great TB12 is just a game manager?
Yep. In fact, you could go back, Pete, before this point and say he's a game manager. Maybe the reason Tom Brady is forced to be a game manager is he doesn't have the offensive weapons in terms of receivers that he sometimes has. Maybe this is just what he's working with. But hold on, slow up. Isn't Tom Brady the guy who could turn any average receiving core into stars, right? Don't we always say, like, look what he's working with. Why is it that the offense humming along? He doesn't have all these offensive weapons. Tom Brady's supposed to be that guy. When was the last time you heard someone bring up Tom Brady's name as in the conversation for MVP or the best quarterback in football?
I love it when they do these live remotes and they're all screaming, hey, Max, over here, Max. They're Clemson today.
Yeah,
they're
talk doing about Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. It's every year. It's every single year.
But this is so dopey because you could take any quarterback, and if he doesn't have the weapons, quarterback can't do it all by himself. You know, this is not like the NBA where you could take one player, and it can be Michael Jordan, and you can put him with 4 stiffs, and he's still going to win an awful lot of games, right? Because he just takes the ball to the hole, and he takes everybody on. The quarterback has to throw to somebody else. He needs people to actually block for him. I'm giving you real simple stuff here, Max. It's just idiotic, but it plays for his shtick, and so he likes it. But he still hasn't fallen off your freaking cliff. 3 years later, we're on year 4. Ridiculous.
Well, the whole make it average guys, okay, so the average guys are who? Who are the average guys? Just because I'm not including
in this league?
On his team. He'll make average guys better.
I would say.
Okay, fine. So Edelman, no change there. James White, listen, no change there. But who are the other average guys? Josh Gordon is out of the picture. Who else we got? Philip Dorsett didn't suit up.
Excuse me, Jacoby Myers last night was 4 for 4.
Jacoby Myers. Huh? I would say that's pretty damn
he
good.
He made him better. Sorry. Gunner was 2 for 3 last night.
I was going to say, sorry, he didn't throw the ball to Gunner Olszewski like 12 times.
They're what, 6 for 7?
He was 31 of 41. What is the problem? Well, where are you? At one point in time, it's almost 80% of his passes.
Here's the problem. It doesn't look like Patrick Mahomes, that entertaining, oh my God, what did I just watch? And of course, we're looking at better receivers. And oh yeah, how did Patrick Mahomes look last week when he nicked up his ankle a little bit?
Listen, he wasn't the same. But, you know, Mahomes has made a lot of guys. I mean, did you guys know who this Hardman was? Or Marcus Robinson was?
I do now.
Or this kid Pringle was? You know what I mean? So he's doing it too.
He's the Pringles guy.
But they'll never, guys like, people like Max will never, they just look at Brady. And they watch him. They don't look at an offensive line. They don't look at tight ends. They don't look at weapons going down in the middle of games because it doesn't fit the argument. You know, because you know that's Skip Bayless's job. That's what he does. But it just doesn't. And then, you know, my eyes tell me he wasn't 31 for 41 for 340 yards, whatever the hell he was, because he was bad. Did you see that pick? Right? Did you see that pick? Yeah, it was a bad pick. It was awful. But they don't see the big picture. They don't see the whole picture of what he has to deal with and how thin they are and how inexperienced they are right now across the board.
Yeah, they're looking at it from afar, and
they're not looking at it from afar. They're looking at it like they should look at it, but they're just changing what it means. So I go out there and I say, and he says, hey, admit, why isn't he making average guys better? Well, I would say he did exactly that. Jacoby Myers was 4 for 4. Olszewski caught passes. Well, who else is left? There's nobody left that's average on the offense as far as a skill position player.
He may be looking at it saying, well, what happened to Josh Gordon? He's a shell of himself.
That was Brady's fault.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you're
right. He's not the same player he was 5 or 6 years ago. He's not the same player we saw here last year. But is that Brady's fault? Or is that something going on with Josh Gordon? All right, back to the phone calls. Ed's in Brockton. Hello, Ed.
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's up, Ed?
Thank you for. Well, I really appreciate it. Oh boy, what did I do?
Ed, what's your question, homie?
They're homies now.
No, I'm not a homie yet, but I will be. Listen, I can't agree more with that. I'm done with Fox. I really am done with Fox. When Gronk was doing his little stint at the beginning, and he started, you know, to rant a little bit at the end. And he went to shake their hands. I really think those three clowns were sort of making fun of him. If you'll really take a look at that clip, that's what I saw. And I didn't like it at all.
I don't know about that. I actually thought the other three guys became goofy, a lot goofier than they normally are once Gronk came onto the set. They kind of absorbed everything that he is. Let's go to Tyler in Medford. Here's another homie for you. Tyler.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good. So I had a question about the offensive line. And so I think that the wide receivers last night actually had a decent game when Tom Brady had time. And so I think that would you value trading like Bennett or flipping Bennett for some offensive line help? And if so, who would you target?
I don't have a name for you, offensive line. Sorry, Rolodex.
But you can't find
you. You don't know the backup offensive line.
I don't know all the back. But I will say this. I'd give up Bennett.
Can we just, you know, talk about the offensive line issue that they have? Now, so you lost Andrews, right? That was a big loss.
Injury. Actually an illness.
Before you lost Isaiah Wynn, you traded for 3 offensive linemen.
Right.
Yep.
Think about what these guys walked into camp with. 0 depth on the offensive line. 0 depth at wide receiver. Let alone, I mean, that was before Josh Gordon was even activated, right? Before you traded for Antonio Brown. Forget about depth at wide receiver and tight end. How about 0 talent at both of those positions and a lack of depth at offensive line to the point where you had to go trade for 3 guys in camp because of one injury. One injury. And they still haven't have an answer for any of them.
Yeah, but
they did have a couple of those guys that they brought in that ended up retiring too. So almost every plan that they had, every move they made came with some, it was just nothing went right. One guy retires.
Well, was it focus on just the defense or was it just me? Like, you know, we're going to build this defense. Hey, guys, like Josh and Tom, hands up. Hey, what are we doing? I mean, offensive line, we're relying on, what are we?
Well, all the same guys came back.
Wide receivers,
they all
guys.
Came back.
Hello, tight end. Hello. Oh, that's good. You brought Jamie Collins back. Oh, you brought in Michael Bennett.
Yep.
Oh, that's great. Hello, over here.
Hello.
I mean, you talk about just, what did they do on offense?
Hello.
Hold on.
Hello.
They drafted
Do you remember what,
okay. Ben Watson.
Do you remember what people were saying?
The first they four knew games. They was going to miss.
Do you remember what people were saying? You could bring any Tom, Dick, or Harry, any stiff in here, and Dante will fix it for you.
This thing on.
Look at all the pressure.
I mean,
look at all the pressure on Dante, okay? The problem is that you were not going to pay Trent Brown. He had a good year last year with you, okay? Soldiered the year before, got a fortune, the highest paid offensive lineman in the league. Trent Brown goes out and makes a killing in Oakland, and you had already drafted what you thought was the best offensive tackle in the draft, or certainly one of them, one of the top three. And so you had your guy. The problem is, he got hurt in year one, and he comes back for year two, and he got hurt again.
One, so you figure, okay, you know, hopefully he's healthy, I guess. But, you know, I'm just saying, we talk about Brady, you know, being frustrated right now, right, about how thin they are or lack of weapons they are. I don't think, you know, obviously this isn't something new. We know he's been talking about it for 2 or 3 weeks, every opportunity he can. But it isn't just the last 3 weeks. It's like the last 3 months. Walking in the camp. You know, Maurice Harris. Dontrell Inman.
They had a lot of bodies in the start.
You know, Demaryius Thomas coming back from Achilles.
Ellington. Do you remember all the guys they
Ellington.
Brought
Ellington. Bruce Ellington.
Izzo,
LaCosse, the kid from Tampa, the other tight end that they cut
Cameron
right away.
Meredith was another one.
Austin Seferian
Jenkins.
Yes. Kendricks. There was
and
a Kendricks.
He's just, Lance, and he's looking at going, yeah. What? Is this really the answer?
Line them all up. Grab them all. Grab all the average or used to be, could have been, and put them all on that wall right there.
And my left tackle is this kid Isaiah Wynn, who I haven't seen in a year. Okay.
So you can trust him.
All right.
But then they missed on all those free agents, all the receivers,
God.
The beasts
of
the
one,
world.
That was the one thing you could get out of Lombardi.
And the offense.
And Lombardi might be right in this because there's a 20-year track record. And this one seems, from an offensive standpoint, seems like a real challenge to go out there and find somebody, especially when you've already got $5 million on hold that you can't touch because of Antonio Brown. But Lombardi seems convinced that Bill's going to solve this problem. This is not going to be an issue. That we're crazy. Sitting here week six, what the hell are you doing?
He's got a history of it.
Exactly.
He listed a bunch of names.
He may be right.
He's absolutely right. They've done it and they've made moves. Moves that haven't worked. Steven Jackson. Didn't work.
Oh, remember
Steven
that?
Steven Jackson.
Do you remember that game
work.
In Miami at the end of the season where they had Steven Jackson?
Didn't
they
work.
Were trying to prep him for the playoffs.
How about Malcolm Floyd?
Oh, my God.
Didn't work.
No, it didn't work.
One catch.
It didn't
he
work.
Fought for a touchdown. Remember?
But he didn't drive while he was here.
He stayed right over there in Patriot Place. Walked to practice every day.
It was easy for him. He stayed right there. Chris is up in New Hampshire. Hey, Chris.
Chris.
Hello, Chris.
Okay.
Good talk.
All right, that was good. Ryan's in Weymouth. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, Chris was really good. Hey, is it my imagination, but the play, the timing of the play seem off with the shotgun. I don't think the center is getting it back to Brady on time. And I think he's throwing the timing off on almost every play. He dropped one last night. You never see him drop one.
Yeah, and it took him forever to pick it up. It was like he was delicately picking it up.
When the snap in a shotgun is affected by the wind, that's not a good thing. Right. Like, he just floats it up
it
there.
It can happen a couple of games. Well,
game one, we said, okay, he's got to get the ball back to Brady a little quicker. He's throwing him cambios, little change-ups.
Right.
So, but Brady says, Ryan Brady says that's not a factor. And
it's got to be a factor.
Well, I mean, you would think if it, you, but Christian, you tell me if that's a factor, they try to make an adjustment and they haven't made an adjustment. He's floating it up there the same way he did the first week. He was,
I know,
he was
everybody mentioned that also, right? Yeah. Why is the ball taking so long to get back to Brady?
Yeah, but wind was a factor of those last night.
When the wind's a factor,
you
probably
know anybody.
What
doesn't that set the timing off on the wide receivers? Doesn't it set the timing off from pass blocking because it's getting so long to get to back to him?
No, I mean, it's Brady who has to rush. He's the only one that has to rush because the clock's ticking for him to get rid of it. Nobody else is changing up what they're doing.
Well, it's what happened in that one ball he fumbled. You know, maybe because it doesn't come back quick enough, he's anticipating and starting to lean back, and the ball's not getting to him, and he's like, come on.
So he's anticipating it.
So he's reaching for it. It's off his fingertips, and then he, like he did last night.
Didn't you get the feeling, though, as he was picking it up? It was almost like a blind guy, and he was reaching around for it. For the first time, I'm watching him, and I'm going,
one-handed.
He looks 42 trying to pick the ball off the ground.
There was some series. There were so many series, almost all the series to start the game were so bad.
Awful.
Everything was going wrong. Didn't move, passes weren't accurate.
Well, the first five series, they did nothing.
It was just, who is this team?
Well, and you kind of chalk it up for a Thursday night game because you see that on Thursday night. There's no real practice during the course of the week, right? A couple of walkthroughs.
You can't throw a flat route?
No, you should be able to.
So you throw a ball to Edelman that you throw a million times. He's splitting the safeties. And what are you looking at there? Is that wind? Well, we did mention the wind.
Yeah, the wind might have been a factor. I thought the wind really picked up at halftime. Right around halftime, it seemed to the gust picked up quite a bit. Richard is up next. Hey, Richard.
Yeah. Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, yes, we got you good.
You're fine.
All right. Yeah, so you took the wind out of my sails. Excuse the pun about asking about the wind, but I did come up with another question. I was wondering, you know, that it's a pretty sophisticated offense. I would assume that the receivers have to pick up. You know, I'm wondering if maybe, you know, there's so many skills, the timing skill, what are the options off of each route that they have to know. It, you know, is it maybe what we're seeing is just, you know, it's a limited menu there for Tom, and he's just trying to make more out of something that he doesn't have?
Well, there was a limited menu late in the game. There's no question in the second half where they had one personnel group out there, and it allowed the defense to keep the same personnel.
It was such a crappy defense. Right. Lucky for them that all that happened against a crappy defense.
That's Chicago or something like that.
No, I mean, think about it. Imagine if they played, just call it Buffalo. Maybe it was Buffalo, and they picked a bad time to just suddenly. It looked like they were suffering from the effects of, we should just beat this team. We can just roll our helmets out there and beat them. It's like they needed a smack in the face to snap out of. Next thing you know, it's 14-14, and you can't move the ball on a crappy defense.
Well, you know, it's 14-0, right? Before they scored. So 14-0, he said, it's ugly, but it's 14-0.
Yeah,
here
one
we
up,
go.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, deep ball to Tate, strip sack, and you're like, whoa.
That
what
hurts
the
a little
hell?
Bit.
Go ahead, Richard. Final word. Go.
Pretty much all I know about football is what I hear from WEEI.
There you go. Keep it there.
My ignorance.
Listen to me.
But
tight ends are the most important position on the team. Utility man in baseball.
Does the defense know, like, okay, this guy, this rookie, is only going to know how many different ways to change his route, right? To change his route. So then they can play it a little bit differently. Does that happen?
I'm not
just
sure.
Wondering.
I'm
not
Patriots defense?
I'm not sure what you mean.
I'm not sure either.
Other than
he gave him the final word. It's a nice attempt. Yeah. Listen, he gets all his football information from us, so I feel like we should really answer this one.
So they're supposed to be reacting to what the defense is showing him, and if they do the wrong thing and Brady throws in one area and they're in another area, that's a bad thing, right? That's not good. That's a bad thing. All right, we got another hour to go. We got 30 minutes commercial free. This past hour has been brought to you by Kaplansky Insurance. We love Kaplansky Insurance. More choices, more savings, Kaplansky.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.